Okay, let's get cracking. It is a very exciting day as we begin Seder Nashim with Maseches Yevamos, as we learn Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis. By way of introduction to Maseches Yevamos, we just need to clarify and learn some of the most important concepts and ideas as it pertains to this Masechta. Now, if a man dies without any children, the Torah commands his brother to marry his widow in order to establish a name for the dead brother, so that his name should not be removed and blotted out, if you will, from the Jewish people. This mitzvah is known as Yibam, and this is going to be the subject of Maseches Yevamos. Now, the concept of Yibam was known to our ancestors even before the Torah was given at Har Sinai. When Yehuda's son Er died without having had any children, Yehuda commanded his second son Onan to perform Yibam with Tamar, Er's widow. Eventually, Yehuda himself performed the Yibam, because in the generations before Har Sinai, the minhag was to allow any of the deceased's close relatives to perform this mitzvah. Only once the Torah was actually given at Har Sinai was it restricted to the brother of the person who passed away. Now, the halacha of Yibam has several parts to it. Number one is the basic mitzvah to perform Yibam with the widow. Number two is the prohibition for her to marry anyone but her brother-in-law until he performs Yibam or releases her. And that ceremony is called Chalitza. If he doesn't want to marry her, he performs Chalitza, which we'll discuss as well, which will ultimately allow her to marry someone else besides for the brother of her deceased husband. Now, a man is generally forbidden to marry his brother's ex-wife, whether his brother divorced her or whether he died. This prohibition is punishable by Karis. However, when a brother dies without any children, that's when the Torah suspends this prohibition for the sake of the mitzvah of Yibam. The mitzvah applies only to brothers who share the same father. If they are brothers only through their mother, this mitzvah does not apply to them. Now, the Yibam marriage takes effect through the brother and the widow having relations together. On a Daraisa level, on a Torah level, the usual marriage ceremony, Kiddushin and Chuppah, are neither necessary nor effective for Yibam. Yibam takes place only through actually being together. However, for the sake of making things appropriate, the rabbis decree that the brother actually do kiddushin with the widow before performing yibam with her. This pre-yibam kiddushin is called ma'amar, as we will learn. If he performs yibam without first making ma'amar, however, the yibam is still effective. It's still going to work. With this basic level of introduction, and there's going to be a lot more shortly that we're going to learn as things go by, we're going to begin now, Maseches Yevamos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Now, although a brother's wife is usually considered an erva, which is a relative that one is not allowed to marry under penalty of kares, the Torah does allow this to happen like we just said. Our Mishnah here discusses a case where a brother died without any children, and he left multiple widows, multiple women, without any children. One of them is an erva to the living brother, meaning one of them is someone who cannot marry the living brother due to some relation that they have together. It teaches that not only is the erva exempt from yibam or chalitza, but so too are the other widows, the co-wives of the erva. The Mishnah then lists all the different ways in which a deceased brother's widow can be an erva to a living brother. It says the Mishnah, Chameshes Reinashim Potros Tzaroseyan. There are 15 women who, because they are an erva to the only living brother of their dead husband, exempt their co-wives from chalitza or from yibum. Meaning to say, as the Bartonor points out, the dead brother, let's call him Reuven, left more than one widow. There is only one living brother, Shimon, and one of the widows, Rachel, is an erva to him. The Mishnah teaches us that not only is Rachel exempt from chalitza and yibum, but all the other widows are also exempt. The source for this exemption of co-wives is the word litzror, to make them rivals, mentioned in the pasuk in Sefer Devarim. It teaches that not only is an erva herself exempt from yibam, but her rivals, the other co-wives, are also exempt from yibam. And therefore, says the Mishnah, v'tzaros tzarosein min hachalitza u'min hayibam, and they are also exempt, the co-wives of their co-wives, from Chalita and Yibam as well. Meaning to say that if in addition to the first brother to whom she is an Erva, there was a second brother to whom she was not an Erva, and he performed Yibam with her co-wife, and then he too died without any children with the two wives, then both his widows are also exempt from Chalitza and from Yibam with the first brother, one because she was previously the co-wife of his Erva, and the other because she's now the co-wife of that co-wife. Continues the Mishnah, Ad Sofa Olam, and this continues forever, meaning to say, if there is a third brother and he performed Yibam with the co-wife of the Erva, and then died childless with two wives, then the co-wife of the co-wife of the co-wife of the Erva is also exempt from Chalitza and Yibam with the first brother. And if there's a fourth brother, and he performs Yibam with the co-wife of the co-wife of the co-wife, and he too dies childless with two wives, then that would happen as well. And this rule goes on endlessly for as many brothers and groups of co-wives as there may ultimately be. Now the Mishnah is going to detail all of the 15 ways in which a woman who was married to the dead brother can be an erva to the living brother. Ve'eluhen, and these are the 15 women. The first three are ervas because they are descendants of the living brother. Bito, his daughter. Ubas Bito, his daughter's daughter. Ubas Bino, and his son's daughter. These cases in erva, and certainly that would pater all of the co-wives in that situation. The next three examples are descendants of the living brother's wife, says the Mishnah. Bash Ishto, his wife's daughter, Ubas Bina, the wife's son's daughter, Ubas Bita, and the wife's daughter's daughter. The next three are ancestors of the living brother's wife, Chamoso, his wife's mother, Ve'im Chamoso, his wife's mother's mother, Ve'im Chamav, and his wife's father's mother. Now, when two men are half-brothers from the father's side, meaning they share the same father, but they have different mothers, and one of them dies without any children, the living half-brother is supposed to perform Yibam or Chalitza with the widow. The next two ervas are women that the living half-brother cannot marry because they are related to him from his mother's side. It says the Mishnah number 10 is Achoso Me'imo, his half-sister from his mother's side, V'achos Imo, and his mother's sister. Again, it would make him an erva to pot the other co-wives. The Mishnah now goes back to a case that could even involve full brothers in order to list one more erva that involves a sister, says the Mishnah, V'achos Ishto, his wife's sister as well, meaning two brothers married two sisters and one of the brothers died. The living brother may not marry his widow because she is his wife's sister. The Mishnah now is one more erva that involves a brother, says the Mishnah, V'eshes Achiv Shelo Hayba Olamo, the wife of his brother whose world he did not share, meaning the wife of a brother who died before this brother was ultimately born. Now the 15th example of an erva is Vikaloso and his daughter-in-law, meaning Shimon's son married a woman and died. Shimon's brother Reuven then married the widow and died childless. Shimon cannot perform Yibam with the widow since she was once his daughter-in-law. So, just a quick recap, says the Mishnah, Hari Elu, Potros Torosein, Vitaros Torosein, Mina Chalitza, Mina Yibam. These women exempt their co-wives and the co-wives of their co-wives from Chalitza and Yibam, at Sofa Olam. This goes on forever for as many brothers and sets of co-wives as there may ultimately be. And then, says the Mishnah, Vakulon, however, with regard to all of these women, all the 15 cases of women that we discussed, Im Mesu, if they died before their husband, O Me'anu. Or if they performed Me'un and thereby they annulled their marriage to him before he died. Then what's Me'un? So according to the halacha on a daraisa level, a father may give his underage daughter in marriage. In the case of an orphan, the chachamim gave this right to her mother or brothers. In addition, if the father gave his underage daughter, again, a girl under bas mitzvah, in marriage, and the husband divorced her or died before she reached bas mitzvah, the chachamim allowed her to marry someone else without her father's consent. And since the marriages in these last two cases are valid only on a midrabanan level, and they involve girls under bas mitzvah, the chacham did not require a regular divorce in order to end them. Rather, the girl may annul the marriage at any time before she becomes bas mitzvah, but declaring in court that she refuses to continue in the marriage, and this is referred to as meyun. So that's the case. O nisgarshu, or they were divorced by him before he died. O shenimtsu ilonios, or if they were found to be ilonios before he died, meaning they were found to have these weird physical issues that show that they can never really have children, and therefore their marriage was annulled. Tsarosei and mutaros, in all of these cases, their co-wives to whom the dead man was still married at the time of his death are permitted to the living brother, since at the time the husband's death, he was is not married to the erva, the living brother can therefore perform yibum or chalitza with one of the remaining wives. Now the Mishnah points out that for some of the 15 women listed in our Mishnah, there are not so many ways in which their marriage to the dead brother could have ended before he died. Says the Mishnah, V'yata yachal lom b'chamoso, certainly realize, however, that you cannot say regarding his wife's mother, uve'im chamoso, or his wife's mother's mother, uve'im chamiv, or his wife's father's mother, shenimtsu ailonios, that they were found to be ailonios, since an ailonios cannot have children, oshemeno, or shemeeno, that nor you also can't say that they, the mother-in-law, the grandmother-in-law, and so on, performed mayan with the dead brother before he died. This is because a woman can perform mayan only before she actually reaches bas mitzvah, and since a woman can have children only after she reaches bas mitzvah, it cannot be that her daughter married her the living brother while she herself is still married to the dead brother. Continuing now with Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, as the Mishnah here is going to expand on the halachos discussed in the previous Mishnah. It begins by describing the case in which an erva exempts her co-wife from chalitza or yibum. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad Potros Sarosei, and what is the case in which these 15 women exempt their co-wives from chalitza or yibum? As the previous Mishnah taught, Ha'isabito achas mikol ha'arayos ha'elu nesu ala'achiv, if a man's daughter, or any of these women, other women who are in erva, was married to his brother, v'lo isha acheres, and this brother has another wife, v'meis, and he died, kishem shebito petura, just as the man's daughter is exempt from chalitza or yibum, since she is an erva to him, kach tzarasa petura, so too her co-wife is exempt as well. Now the Mishnah describes the case in which the co-wife of the co-wife of the co-wife of the erva is exempted from yibum chalitza. This occurs when there are two surviving brothers, and one of them is the father of the erva. He cannot perform yibum chalitza with his daughter or her co-wife, but the second brother is obligated to do so. Says the Mishnah, Halchot Zaras Bito v'nis es la'achiv hasheni. If his daughter's co-wife went and married the second brother, meaning the second surviving brother, performed yibum with her, v'lo isha acheres, and the second brother has another wife as well, v'meis, and then he also died without children, leaving these two widows to the first brother, k'shem shetaras bito patur, just as his daughter's co-wife is exempt from chalitza or yibum with him, kach taras, tarasa patura, so too the co-wife of the co-wife is exempt from doing yibum or chalitza as well. Now the Mishnah is going to expand on the previous Mishnah statement, that it continues forever, as the Mishnah says, via filu, hein, mea, even if there are 100 brothers, and the co-wife of the daughter married one of them, and he had another wife, and he then died without any children, then both widows are forbidden to his daughter's father, and so on forever. And continuing in the Mishnah, as the Mishnah describes the case in which the erva was no longer married to the dead man when he passed away, so that he does not exempt her co-wife from yibum or chalitza, says the Mishnah, ketzadim meisu tzarosei and mutaros. What is the case in the previous Mishnah where if one of the 15 women died, their co-wives are permitted to his brother for yibum? This is the situation. If his daughter, any of these other women who are in erva, were married to his brother, v'lo isha acheres, and his brother also had another wife, Mesa Bito O Nisgarsha, and his daughter then died or was divorced, thereby ending the marriage. Fiachar Kach Mes Achiv, and then his brother died. Tarasa Mutaras, and the daughter's former co-wife is allowed to do Yibum with him. Finishing off the Mishnah of the Chol Hayecholu Lemoy, and any of these Ervas who could have performed Mayon and thereby canceled the marriage to the dead brother before he died, the Lo Meana, but did not perform Mayon and was still married to him when he died, does not completely exempt her co-wife, Tzarasa Choletz Lo Misya Bemes. Rather, a co-wife must perform Chalitza with the surviving brother, but may not be taken in Yibam by him. That's since on a Daraisa level, the Torah does not recognize her marriage to the dead brother. On the Torah level, the co-wife was the only wife. Therefore, on the Torah level, the living brother must either marry her or perform chalitza, so she is free to marry others. However, since the Chachamim do recognize this marriage, they said that he should not do yibum, so it looks like he is committing the avera of marrying an erva's co-wife. He must therefore perform chalitza in order to free her and allow her to marry other people. Have a great day.